because Fran's service today is a little over an hour from here, and because it's outdoors and a little different, I didn't know how many of us might be able to make it, and I wanted to give our church a chance to do something a little special for Fran and for us, and to have a moment together. And so we decided to take today's service and today's message and to honor her and to honor the Lord for what he's done through her life among us. And so today's sermon is off of our series that we have been in, and we're going to take just a little break from what we've been doing and look at Hebrews chapter 11. And this is not a funeral sermon. And so if you're a guest with us today, or you didn't know Fran that well, I think you'll still be able to connect with God's word in this. And but it is a sermon that kind of looks at Fran's life and what it means to us and the example that it was. I was looking at her Facebook page this week. It's always interesting when someone passes away to go look and see what their last Facebook post was. And this was one of hers. There were two I'm going to show you. This was the first one I noticed, a little comic book. And I don't know if you can read it, but there's a ventriloquist and a ventriloquist dummy wearing a safety mask for COVID. And it says, well, at least ventriloquism got easier. It's the upside of COVID, I guess. Leave it to Fran to find something weird like this. Loose Parts is the name of this comic strip. And Fran, as you know, had a few loose parts. And so that was one of her posts. You know, Fran was a fun-loving person. You could see in the slideshow that she loved life, that she engaged people. And all over the place, wherever she went, people felt like they knew Fran. And she gave fully of who she was to every moment. And you can see that here in this post. She was put here in this world, and she made the most of it, but she was not given to this world. She was of another place, and she made that very clear. And the other post that I've got here for you to see is her other final post. It's a citation from Psalm 56. And here's what it says: what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Just a simple verse, no exposition there, no political agenda, no tongue-in-cheek. This is Fran's heart, written on August 16th at 5:25 p.m. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fran, like many of us, had much occasion to be afraid. She wasn't a superhuman person, but when it came down to it, there was time to have fun. There was time for ventriloquist jokes, but in her heart, she did not belong to all of this world. She did not belong to the swelling seas and the tumbling mountains. She belonged to the streams and the rivers that make glad the city of God. And she let that be known more powerfully than anything else. I love to see this in her life. And I love the example that she lived. And I want to look together today at that example, at this journey that she made as she traveled through this world to get to her home. I was thinking about Fran almost all week. And I was brushing my teeth one day and just kept thinking about her. And I was thinking about her while I was brushing my teeth because I could see myself in the mirror and my hair was getting long. And Fran hated it when I had long hair. I don't know why, but she made a big point about it. Fran was particular. You know, can we use the word particular? Is that a nice way of saying it? She was particular, and she and I shared the same beauty salon, right? When I came here, she said, Matthew, if you need a place to get your hair cut, I said, well, I've gone to the Great Clip. She said, no, you need to go to Blanca. I said, Blanca? She said, yes, go over here to Blanca. She's my lady. And so I started going to Blanca. We go to the same place. And the same stylist, if you will. Nancy Pelosi goes there. Anyway, not really. But Fran and I did go there. And Fran and I went to Blanca. And Fran, she would hate my hair getting to my ears so much that sometimes she would tell Blanca while she was there, it's time for Matthew to have a haircut. Blanca would call me and say, Miss Fran says you need to come in. So that's Miss Fran. She was a boss, but in a good way. And I was brushing my teeth, looking at my long hair, and thinking Fran would not be happy with my hair. And I thought of God's word. I thought, we've got to, on Sunday, go to God's word about our friend. There's no other place I want to go. And it's going to be on everybody's heart that we've lost our staff member, our sister, our friend. It's going to be on everyone's heart. Let's just go to God's word. This is out of our control, but God's word speaks with control. It's beyond our authority, but God's word is never without authority. And so as Christians, we go to God's word. It's a mystery, but we find that when nothing else helps, we can open the pages of God's word. And if you've walked with the Lord long enough, the very act of opening it begins to draw comfort to your heart. Because you know the source of where you're going, and you begin to read those words, and instantaneously God's Spirit magnifies the power of what He Himself has authored in these pages. And there we have truth, and there we have foundation, and there the chaos calms. And there the voice of God can be heard. And so today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. A reference back to the man Abraham from the first book in the Bible, Genesis. God had made a promise to Abraham. He repeated the promise in multiple ways. That though he was very old and his wife was very old, that though it was unlikely and unheard of that he would be the father of many nations, that the whole world would be richly blessed through him, that he would be the source of much promise of what God would work out through history. And so Abraham had to accept this by faith because it made no sense. And because as a human being, and God promises you blessing through all history, you're not going to live long enough to see all of history. It just doesn't happen. You know that. There's a faith that comes into play. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer refers back to this faith. Beginning in verse 8, here's what he writes about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. You remember the story? God told Abraham, pack your stuff and go to a place that I will show you. Where is that, God? I will show you. He went. And he went out, the Bible says, not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith, he went to live in a land of promise. Don't mistake that land for the promised land. This is a euphemism here. It's a foreign land. He went to live in a land of promise. The word promise here means a land not yet realized. It's promised. As in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah, that's his wife, herself, received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, that means old, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith. Who all died in faith? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the descendants, as many as the number of grains on the seashore, as many of the stars in the heaven. Who died in faith? All of them died, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from far off, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They didn't belong. This is not the promise. For people who speak thus, who speak how, who say that we're strangers and exiles on earth, for people who talk like that, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We're going to look at three lessons from a journey well made. The journey of Abraham, a journey well made. The journey of our friend, Fran, a journey well made. What would Fran want us to know today? What can we learn from her life? What do we learn from this text? Go, number one. Lesson number one, go where God is certain, even when you're not. Go where God is certain, even when you're not certain. What matters is God. And when he went out, the Bible says he went not knowing where he was going. Abraham was not sure where God was sending him or what tomorrow would hold. But he was sure that God was sure. He was sure that God was sure, and that was enough for him. Where was Abraham dwelling? In tents. The Hebrews makes a point for us to know that he was just dwelling in tents, just moving here to there. I mean, he was just going, not even knowing the place that he was. And not only him, but also all the other heirs of the promise. These others he carried with him, they were all heirs of a promise out there living in tents. It wouldn't make sense to most eyes, except that God was the one who had told him to go, and Abraham went, not because he was sure of where he was stepping his feet, but because he was sure of the one who was sure. And Fran modeled that for us. When we came to Poplar Springs, it was a long process. Skeeter was, of course, led the team who talked to us and who invited us here, and we talked to them on several occasions, and I'm a person that does not make decisions easily or lightly and to my own harm, really, but Fran was a big part of ultimately helping us through that. And I remember one time we were eating at the little grill over here. What is it called? That y'all all love it. You know what it is. Yeah, the Crossroads Grill. We were eating at the Crossroads Grill, and Fran could tell, she could see in Erica and my eyes, that we were struggling with the decision to make a move with our family. And she said, Liz, I want to share something with y'all. She said, I was a pastor's child. And she said, and I just want to share a word of comfort. You know, when I remember the hard times of moving from church to church with my dad. And she said, and let me just tell you, every time it was so hard, she said, and we, when we left one place, we would just cry and cry and cry. And then when we left the next place, we would just cry and cry and cry. I said, Fran, I don't think this is helping, you know. And this is not what I was hoping to hear, you know. What she meant to say was, every time God brought blessings, we thought we were losing. We thought, well, the whole world we were leaving behind and the future was going to be bad. But every time the blessings of God in that uncertainty were so rich again that to step away from that was hard. And then the next time the blessings of God were so bountiful in that season that it was painful to step away from that. God is faithful when we go, when we place our trust in him. And I want you to know this morning, My heart is for you to leave with certainty today that as eternity dawned for her, for our friend Fran, this Wednesday morning, just a few days ago, that Fran recognized that familiar feeling of interlocking her fingers with the loving hand of her Savior, as she had done time and time again, and walking ahead in trust, right? There's a mystery there. What is this eternity holding for us? We don't always know, but we know the one who knows. Don't thrust down roots. Don't thrust down roots where God has laid out tent pegs in this life. Don't do that. In your workplace, don't do it. Don't do it in your home place. Don't do it, young people, in your plans. Don't do it in your future. Journey where God sends you. You may not always know where he's going, but he knows, and Fran knew that. Go where God is certain, even when you're not. But also, lesson number two, don't miss the power of permanently passing through. Look here. Abraham lived a whole life, and so did his descendants and his descendants' descendants, as what? As strangers and aliens, as travelers. They all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. They lived their entire lives with a promised identity from God that would not ever be realized fully in their lifetime. Wow. Can you imagine that? To know that there's a future for you that's been promised to you by God, and in your entire lifetime, you're going to live as a stranger, as an exile, and as an alien. How do you do that? How do you live faithfully as a stranger, as a passer through, when you know that you're really dispossessed royalty, when you know that you are truly the child of a king? How do you live as an exile in the land that your father created? You do so because you know you belong to Jesus. You know whose you are. Everybody felt like Fran belonged to them. That was one of her unique qualities and benefits, that you didn't have to be with her long before you felt like she was yours. We had a man this week on Friday in our church who's been here maybe a year and a half, maybe probably less than that. On Wednesday, when the news came, I was gone. I had traveled to see Skeeter, but Kathy was here, and this man came to our church and just stood in the hallway. He said he didn't know what to think or say. He said he just loved Miss Fran, and they had played music together here for the church, and said that this had touched him more than losing some of his own family members had touched him. She had that way about her, where you didn't have to know her really personally to feel like she belonged to you. She was a part of who you were. She was an honest person. She would tell you the truth, right? You know that's true. There are many times that after church, Fran would come. Her little legs would be coming down the aisle to me, and Skeeter would be behind her, and she'd say, "Matthew, I probably shouldn't, but I need to tell you something." And Skeeter would roll his eyes and say, "Oh, Fran, please don't." And he would walk out the door as quick as he could. And she would tell me something about soap dispensers or something. What something wasn't right in the church, and she would let me know about it. But what I love about Fran is she would always tell you the truth. There's days I'd be up here preaching, and I feel like I just bombed it. You probably know those days. You'd say yes today. Fran would be sitting over here. I walk down, and some of y'all are so nice, some of y'all. And you could walk down, and many of you would say, "That was a great sermon, Pastor. Oh, what a good sermon." And I do appreciate it. But on the days when I bombed it, I could walk down here to Fran, and Fran would just look at me and say, "Oh, well, you know, you win some, you lose some," right? Fran told the truth, right? There was a comfort in that. And walking down there, and I knew it was awful. And Fran knew it was awful, right? And she just let me know. She just said, hey, that's how it goes sometimes. She was yours. She felt like she was yours. She was on a mission trip in New Orleans. She was your Fran, right? She was eating out with friends. She was yours. VBS, you saw the pictures today. Agency D3, you remember those days like it was yesterday, standing right here in front of a Christmas tree. Janet, I mean, you remember, you were right here, right? It was together. Wherever she was present. She was there. How do you do that? How did Fran do that? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think she was able to do it. I think the liberty to love and the fullness to live that we saw from Fran, we all experienced that, was not because she indeed belonged to us, but because she belonged to none other than God alone. She had the freedom to operate with fullness in this world because she had the confidence that her identity came from one, it came from God alone. How do you live as a stranger and an exile? And how do you do it well? How do you not miss the power of a permanently passing through as a child of God in this world? You remember that you belong to Him alone and you answer to no one else. That's how she had a full life. She was His and she never got over it. She lived here among us, as if she was an eternal daughter of the King. And so on Wednesday, Fran went to Jesus not as someone torn away from her life, but as someone restored to her life. She went not as someone ripped away, but as a child welcomed back to her home. That is where she belonged. That's where her life made sense. Where does your life make sense this morning? An outsider looking in to your life and your life and my life, just watching your life, just scrolling through Facebook, finding your last post, fear, hatred, politics, upset, apprehensive, money, sex, industry. Looking in, where does your life make sense? Does it make sense here? Or does it make sense home? Fran's life made sense at home. Don't settle for a life that makes more sense here than in the homeland. Lesson number 3, keep looking for home. Keep looking for home. How are these people speaking? These descendants of Abraham, how are they talking? They're talking like they don't belong here. They're talking like they're outsiders and outcasts. They were never satisfied in their tents, dwelling in those tents. I mean, they weren't complaining to God, but they weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied there because there was something better. Here are the words that this text uses for what they were expecting and looking for. A place with foundations. A tent doesn't have a foundation. They knew God had something sure and certain, that He was going to put something solid under their feet. Something with foundations. A city. Not a wasteland, not a wilderness, not some place you drive in a tent peg, but God was developing something for them, something designed with intelligence, with consideration, constructed and built, something substantial. A homeland is another word used here. Some place where you feel right, some place where you belong, some place that unites your heart, where you know it's right. A country where you're a citizen, where you have standing, where you have rights and entitlements. This is your homeland. A place prepared, thought through, loving. You're considered. God looks at you, and with you in mind, it's prepared. A place that's heavenly, a place that's unearthly, a place that's not burdened down and broken by all that is our plight here. A heavenly place. These are the words straight from this text. They weren't happy in their tents because they knew there was something wonderful that awaited them. That God's promise bore all of these qualities. They wanted what God had promised. We talked about Fran being particular, and you know she was, in all the best ways. Trey told me that she would come in and her chair was missing. It was a big deal. And she could come in and she could know if someone else had been sitting in the chair. You remember the princess and the pea, that old story? That was Fran, the chair and the pea, right? Fran could come sit in it and she would know if it had been adjusted in any way. She knew if the soap was watered down in the bathrooms. She came and told me about it. She'd let me know we're using watered down soap, Matthew. She did not like that. She walked through problems with her health. She had a surgery when she was 18 months old and never quit her whole life. You know some of them, 9 years worth, but health problems for her whole life. You know her family issues, maybe. You know the heartache. Maybe you don't. But let me just say, she walked through heartache. How did she do that? And still stand in all those pictures and still play her heart out at this piano? How did she look you in the eyes as she did sometimes and say, hey, praise the Lord? How could she, when you were down and suffering, how could she, in honesty, without pretense, without church talk, how could she say, hey, God is trustworthy? God is faithful. How could she do that? When things were wrong and she knew it? When there was messes in the family? When her health was failing? When the world's not right? How do you do that? I want to tell you how you do it. Because you never forget that we are not where we belong. All of these things are a reminder not that God has failed, but that God has promised and that God has provided and that we are living in tents where we are not destined to live. But there will come a day where God has laid a foundation and our footing will be established and firm on a solid place, a city designed and constructed by God alone, a homeland where we have standing there, where we are united in our hearts, a country and a place prepared in heaven for us. Fran's life reminds us that this life, our life, is not all there is. Friends, do not, we should not, we must not, I plead with you to not keep mining here for satisfaction and for fullness in this world. It is not to be found. Stop it. Fran would tell us from the piano if she were here. She would tell us with her voice if she could, stop digging in this place for what God has promised ahead. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This text goes on to tell us that it is He alone who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to keep our eyes on Him. We are to run the race with endurance. Why do we need endurance? Because it's hard. The Bible would not tell us to run this race with endurance if it were not hard. It is hard today. That means things are broken here. But He has prepared for us a city. Keep looking for home. It's an amusing story. Comes out of all this with the pandemic about zoos in the United States and Australia and really all over the world. Where the animals are confused. Nobody thought of this. Imagine this happening. But the animals have been confused about where are the people. And so they're looking around and they've noticed these, you know, these red hogs and these giraffes and stuff wanting to know where the people are. And in a zoo over in Phoenix, there's an emu named Cecil stretching his long neck around. They say they just notice he's always looking like, where are all the people who used to come here? There's a mandrill. I don't even know what a mandrill is, but apparently it's a mandrill that has a big toothy smile. His name is Jax. He's in Australia, and he used to jump around all the time. And he just everybody loved him. He just bounced around everywhere. He doesn't bounce in. He just lays there. Just lays there depressed in his little environment now. We used to call them cages. Now they're environments. And he lays there in Australia just laying around, lazy and depressed. Nobody's there to look at him anymore. There's a cockatoo up in Sevierville. That's close enough. You could go there if you wanted to. Up at the little rainforest zoo in Sevierville, Tennessee, who sings a song. His name is Ro. Actually, his name is Rogue. But he sings a song named Row, Row, Row Your Boat. He sings half the song. And part of his act is that the humans who come see him would finish the song for him. He would sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And the humans would sing Gently Down the Stream, Merrily, Merrily, all this. They say that he still sings his half of the song, but no one finishes it now. And they say it's the strangest thing. He sits up on his little perch and he sings his half, and then he looks around at all the other birds like they're supposed to finish it now. He's confused, right? Strange, unforeseen circumstances of COVID-19. Who would have thought? You know, the animals are confused in their cages and looking to see where have all the humans gone and asking, who's going to finish singing my bird song, right? Strange things. There's going to be a moment, friends, for a while, here in our zoo. Yes, here in our zoo, the things don't seem right. You're going to come in here, we're going to come in here for a while, and we're going to be looking around, and something's going to be unfinished. Incomplete. We're going to be wondering, where's the rest of the song? Where'd the music go? This is not right. And I want to assure you today, on the authority of God's word, you're absolutely right. Something is unfinished. It is absolutely incomplete, and the song is unfinished. It's not right. That's exactly what Fran would want us to know this morning. That's exactly what Abraham walked through in his life. That's exactly what God, through his Holy Spirit in the book of Hebrews, wants me and you in 2020 to know. Don't get the feeling that everything should be right in this world. Stop digging for comfort and satisfaction here. The song is not finished. The finished song is being sung in heaven today by our friend and sister. And we one day too will be in that city. But it is not this day. And stop striving for it here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And let's be glad to be his exiles. Let me pray for us. In just a moment, I would be delighted to offer you a moment to respond. Perhaps today you would just want to come and voice a prayer for Skeeter Chatham. Of course, you know you could do that from right where you sit. If you'd like to come up here in front of the Lord, bend a knee and voice a special prayer for him, you'd be welcome to do that. Maybe just thank God for Fran and what her life meant to us. Maybe today you need to make a spiritual decision. That would be perfectly appropriate. In fact, I can't think of it being more appropriate. A way to truly honor the example that she set for us, and a way to point your life toward the God that she loved so dearly and who had claimed her life so powerfully. Today you could be saved. Jesus still saves. His promises are still sure. You could come today and have your sins forgiven. You could become an heir of the inheritance of eternal life. Find that you have a homeland in heaven forever, not because you're good, but because Jesus has bled and given his life on a cross for you. In your place, as a matter of fact. He wants to give you his forgiveness in exchange. It's a free gift if you would accept it. Maybe you'd come and recommit yourself to living in this life fully as an exile. Confess the sin and repent of trying to dig your roots so deeply into the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the sinful pride of life. And fix your gaze once again on Jesus. The floor is open to you, and as we sing in a moment, would you come? Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word of God and for trusting it to us. You are so kind and generous beyond what we could ever ask for or conceive. Help us not to be dull to it. And in your strong name we pray, amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're welcome to respond.